you have your Bible and you'd like to turn with me to Exodus, the 12th chapter, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture, and then we'll go on over to Genesis, the 4th chapter. Everybody got your sword today? This is Resurrection Sunday, right? This is the day the Lord has made, and we'll rejoice and be glad in it. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. And I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm not sure why God set it up so that it was. We can make that statement, nothing but the blood. But how many knows it's true? In Leviticus, he tells us that there's life in the blood. There's life in the blood. How many knows if they drain so much blood out of your body, you'll no longer exist? So there's life in the blood. And if something goes wrong with the blood, it gets diseased or infected, and it affects their whole body, doesn't it? Because it carries this thing in it. And so that's the way sin does. When we allow sin to come into our life, and in any vein, it's going to affect our whole body, spiritually speaking as well. And so he said there's life in the blood. And when the first glimpse, and we call this, you know, Passover and Easter, and this is where it came from. And he said, we need to keep this forever, this ordinance forever. And in just quickly, in Exodus, the 12th chapter, in verse 13, and most of you have seen Cecil B. DeMille's Ten Commandments. And he says they take the blood and they put it on the doorpost and over the lintel. And he said, when I see the blood as the death angel came into Egypt, he said, I will pass over you. I will pass over you. And so we call it Passover. And he says this in verse 13. Now, the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. Everybody say, where you are. I mean, it was today, you're somewhere. It's a good place, it's a bad place, but where you are, the blood is for where you are. It's not for someday, it's not for when we get to heaven, but it's for where you are today and for what you need today. Where you are. And when I see the blood, God says, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. When the blood's applied. That's why we made such a big deal this morning out of the blood of Jesus Christ. Maybe in the year in which we live, and in this new millennium, maybe it's some of you may think that that's a strange statement when you hear about the blood. You know, the Twilight series and the vampires and all that kind of blood, and that's what we hear most of in the news. But here's the good news. This is the good news. This is the gospel. When we talk about the blood, God had set it up so that when man sinned, man fell, that there would be a sacrifice. And he said the only way to atone or to amend our sin or to have our relationship restored back to God was that something that had the lifeblood in it would die. And so God said, we'll give you a sheep or a bull or something that must pay a penalty, something with this lifeblood in it, and it has to be without blemish. If the bull or the sheep or the goat was to fall and skin its leg and had a blemish, and all that represented, how many knows that represented the Christ to come? The Jesus Christ that would come. This picture you see up on the stage representing Jesus Christ would be John called him this, the Lamb of God, without blemish, without spot. And so now we live under the New Covenant. We live under the New Testament. And it's still all about the blood. And this was types and shadows of what would come for us so we could have a Savior. And Jesus died on our behalf and took our sins as He hung on the cross. And that's why He made the statement, my God, why have you forsaken me? For the first time ever, He experienced sin, not His own sin, but our sin. And now He's experienced sin, and He knows what we feel like when we're cut off from God because of our sin. For the first time ever, there's a gap between Him and His Father. For the first time ever. And then after being a Christian for many, many years now, whenever I'm walking down a path that I know that God's not pleased with, and you know, it may be I'm aggravated and I'm hateful today. How many have been hateful a day or two since you found Jesus? Yeah. And there's that separation, isn't there? We talked about it in Bible study the other night. We were talking about giving us a new mind. And it said, you know, where's Jesus whenever you're stressed? Where's Jesus whenever you're mad? And your mind is supposed to be renewed and transformed through the blood of Jesus Christ. But when we're upset or we're focused on an issue, sometimes we walk in dark pockets and dark places. And he said, but when I see the blood, I'll pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you. He said, but he was going to destroy Egypt. Now look over in verse 22. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts, and with the blood that is in the basin. And watch what he says here. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through and to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your house to strike you. You notice in verse 22, he said, none of you shall come out of the door. Now, go with me to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. And I want to set up a little story here. Adam and Eve, you remember in the garden, God had put the tree of life. And it's in the tree of life they would go eat. In fact, the tree of life, if you don't know, will be in heaven when we get to heaven. We'll see the tree of life again. And we'll be able to eat from it. And that's how we'll be sustained forever. It's from the tree of life. And so he removed it from the garden because he set up another tree in the garden. And this tree was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he said, now, you don't eat of that tree. And I'm thinking, well, then why did you put it in the garden? How many has ever thought that? Why did you just not put it in the garden? And the reason he put it in the garden is because he gave us a choice to serve or to reject. To live in obedience, or we could live in our own way. We could have our own will. And how many knows that's the ultimate struggle still today, is to let God be the boss or you be the boss. It's the ultimate struggle still today. Will I obey God's command, or will I take that take the controls in my own hand and be the own boss? That's still the ultimate struggle, isn't. How many knows he gave us a set of commandments? Thou shalt and thou shalt not. And whenever he says, he looks at us and he says, now thou shalt not, and we say, well, I think I will, we've just walked out of the house. We have just left the safety of the blood and the doorpost, and we've just walked out of the house. Now here's the age-old question, of course. When we walk out of the blood and we walk out of the house, here's the age-old question. Are we lost? Are we just God's children in trouble? And we're not here to talk about eternal security today or falling from grace. Everybody say hallelujah. Because it's separated churches for years. But here's what I know. He says when you step outside the door, he said the destroyer's coming. And he said don't step outside. Stay in there where the blood has been applied, where it's over the door. And I want to show you, the first family, isn't it amazing that we, as moms and dads, we blame so many things on why our children aren't what they need to be? Well, it's those kids at school. Yeah, that's right. God said, if you won't say amen, I will. Yeah, and we play the blame game, and we say, well, it's those kids at school, or, you know, it's your daddy, like the little skit says, I'm leaving, we can't get along, and we yell, and we scream, and we fuss, and we fight, and so we blame it on daddy, we blame it on mama, we blame it on something, and I just want to show you the first family. How many knows the first family didn't have school systems, they didn't have peer pressure, they didn't have drugs on the street, they didn't have anything that we fight today, but they had one thing that we have today, and that's the system that we're under. And we are all in the sin system because Adam and Eve took of the tree of good and evil and ate. When God said, thou shalt not, and they did, they went outside the house, and now the rules has changed. Anytime we walk out of the house from where we're covered in the blood, how many knows the rules change for me and you? It's a bad place to be. And so here we are in Genesis 4:1, and it says, "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord." How many ladies today here say, "You've acquired a man from the Lord"? How many said, "And I got rid of a man from the Lord"? You know, we acquire a man and then we get rid of a man. Huh? And then maybe we acquire another man and we might get rid of that one too. Don't make him preach me, you know, come on now. "I acquired a man from the Lord, and then she bore again, and this time her brother Abel." Brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep. Everybody say, keeper of the sheep. "But Cain was a tiller of the ground." And how many knows both of those are very honorable occupations? Whether you're gardening or tending sheep, it doesn't matter what you do, and it can be honorable. In fact, it doesn't matter if you're a janitor. It doesn't matter if you're president. If you do it as unto the Lord, it's all good by God. And so just to let you know, he doesn't have preference over sheep herders or gardeners or whatever it is that you do. That has nothing to do with what's going on here. And he says, "Abel also brought his firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected." And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And here's what I know about God. And the story doesn't reveal this, but you can take this to the bank. The characteristics of God, I just know that Abel knew he doesn't take vegetables, he takes sheep. I just know. You just know that by the characteristics of God, that Abel knew exactly what he was supposed to bring to the altar. He knew what he was supposed to bring. How many knows not one parent in here would ever not tell your children what pleased you and displeased you, and if they came and displeased you and they didn't know, you wouldn't get on to them, would you? No, you'd say, "You know what, honey, I know you didn't know, but Daddy don't like this, or Mama, you know, this is not pleasing." And so you can just know that Cain knew exactly what it was that he was supposed to bring to the altar. Now watch this. And it said, and Cain was very angry. Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And so the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you so angry?" Maybe he's saying that to some of us today. Why are you so angry? Why are you so angry? Maybe part of your anger problem and your hurt problem and your issues that you're having today is what you brought to the altar. Are you with me? Maybe it's because you're not under the doorpost of the blood anymore. Now we're walking out in places we shouldn't be walking. We're doing things we shouldn't be doing. And we're wondering why things are going the way they are. And maybe it's because of the offering that we brought unto the Lord. How many knows the Bible said that we are to be transformed and we are to become living sacrifices before the Lord? Living sacrifices. And he said, so he was angry, and he says, "Why is your countenance fallen? Why are you like this? You know what you're supposed to bring to the altar. You know what you're supposed to bring. Why are you like this? Why is your countenance fallen? Why are you angry?" And it says, and listen to this, and this is really important, because we can apply this to our lives today. If you do well, everybody say this, if I do well, I will be accepted. I will be accepted. See, now here's something I want you to know. When you're doing well and the devil comes, and how many knows, you've just really been doing well, you've given of yourself, you're trying really your hardest to live up to it, and by the grace of God, you're living under the commandments and living under the guidelines of God's Word, and you just feel like God's not pleased with you. Have you ever felt that way? I think most of us have. But here's the assurance I want to give you today. Whenever you and I are living according to this, according to God's Word, we can just know by faith that we are accepted before the Lord. What I tell people, just hang your feelings. You know, just tell your feelings to take a hike. Because when we're doing what God has called us to do, and we know we're walking in obedience, and we may not hit it every time, but how many knows we can pretty much tell when we're walking in obedience and we're walking in sin. God has given us a heart and given us a conscience to know when right from wrong, and even if you don't know the Scripture all that well, how many knows you, grandma or mom or dad or somebody has instilled principles and values in you that probably came from here that rule your conscience and your heart. And so he says, if you do well, you will be accepted. And if you do not do well, here's the consequences. And this is the same thing. He's no respecter of persons. And here's the same thing that he told Cain that he's telling us today. If you do not do well, sin lies at your door. Sin lies at your door. And its desire is for you. If you believe it's not available, this thing, same thing is not active today in the New Covenant, just ask Judas. That walked with Jesus for over 3 years and watched Him just like all the other disciples watched and learned. But he decided, you know what, I'm going to walk my own way. And greed took over and selfishness took over and you know the end result of him, sin was lying at the door, and here's what happened. He went out and hanged himself. Now here's what Jesus said, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you." Let me ask you something this morning, how's your peace? If you're standing in the house where the blood's been applied, it ought to be great. But if you're standing outside on the porch contemplating, it may not be very good. And if you walked on out into the street or into right into the midst of sin and you're camped out there, listen, the Bible says, if you abide in me, my word abides in you, you shall know the truth. And the truth shall what? Set you free. How's your freedom this morning? How free is your mind this morning? Are you abiding in the truth? He says, because if you're there, you're under the blood. You're in the house where the blood's been applied and you're feeling the peace of God that passes understanding. You're feeling the freedom that He left us. He says, and it'll not only light your door, He said, but its desire is for you. Its desire is for you. How many know sin's desire is for you? Satan has come to kill and to steal and destroy. And he don't care who you are or who your mom and dad is or how much they pray or how godly they are or how ungodly they are. It doesn't matter to him. He's come to kill you. So we're still feeling the influence. Remember, and here's something I thought about as I was preparing for this. The first child ever born would be the first murderer ever born. First child ever born would be the first murderer ever born. Without peer pressure, without buddies to drag him down, without any kind of without YouTube, without the internet, without all the games that they have to play, without any of that kind of stuff, that, you know, without peer pressure from trying to keep up with the Joneses. There were no Joneses, as far as we know, yet. And yet the first child ever born becomes a murderer. First child ever born because he's outside the blood. He stepped out of the side and he said, I'll drive this ship. If you don't respect my offering, this is what I'll do. And let's read what he does. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, "What have you done?" Now watch this statement. He said, "The voice of your brother's blood." Remember what we said? There's life in the blood. There's life in the blood. "The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." Let me say something here. I know we've helped families that have been through tragic death in last year or two or three people, you know, meanness, gang members, ruthless individuals. And I want to tell you something. There's no one that's ever lost their life that their blood isn't crying out for justice before God, and He's hearing. He's hearing. I don't care if the justice system don't find them guilty. How many knows you cannot stand in the presence of a holy God with someone's blood on your hands? Now, our hope and our prayer for those individuals is that they'll find Jesus Christ and they'll be set free and forgiven and they'll be out of the bonds of the torment that they're living in. How many knows you have to live in torment to be that kind of a mean person? And so that's our prayer and our desire. And so he says, his blood has cried out, "So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand." Now watch the consequences. How many knows when you're outside the blood, there's consequences? I said, when you're outside the blood, there's consequences. We can stay outside if we want to, but we cannot stay out here without consequences. We may belong to God and we may be under the blood as far as our life and eternal life and all that, but I'm telling you, when we walk out into a vein of something that we know is wrong and we're following our own lusts and our own desires and our own heart and we know it's wrong, but you know, this just feels right, or I just believe it's okay for now. And I know it contradicts Scripture, but you know, and so we're standing out here and we can make all kind of excuses, but I just want you and me to know that we can stand out here if we want to, but we cannot stand out here without consequences. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood. And so he says to him, now when you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. The same ground that used to be so fertile, the same job that used to be so fulfilling, it won't be that anymore to you. The same people that used to love you and you had this great relationship with, everything about us anymore, it won't be the same anymore because now we're walking outside the blood. We're walking in our own evil desires and ways. It contradicts God's Word and we cannot stay out here without the consequences. Now I'm preaching good news. I'm getting to the good news, okay? I know it's Easter and we don't want, you know, you go out here. But all I'm saying is, if you're out here, get back over here, you know. Get back under the doorposts that are marked, you know. If there's an area of your life that you decided I need to run out here, then just come back is all we're saying today. He said, because the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, listen to this, my punishment is greater than I can bear. My punishment is greater than I can bear. Remember what he told Cain that says, my punishment is greater than I can bear? Remember what he told him? If you do what is well, you will be accepted. You don't have to live out here where it's greater than you can bear. You don't have to stay out here where it's not fulfilling anymore. You don't have to, Cain. He said, if you'll just do well and repent and turn to me, you don't have to live out there. The ground can still yield good stuff for you because the blood is applied. You know, you don't have to be a vagabond and you don't have to go through all this. Come back, he says, and get back under the blood, and you can be just like every other righteous man or woman. You don't have to live out there. Isn't it amazing how sin can grab us and get a hold of us in such a measure that we think we can't go back? We think we can't get under the blood because, oh, I can't take this anymore. Well, you don't have to take it. The good news is, he said his mercy endures what? Forever. To all generations. To all generations. Nothing but the blood. Now, I want to read you a scripture. Romans 5, 8, and 9 says, but God demonstrates His own love toward us. His own love toward us. In that while we were still sinners, maybe you belong to Jesus, but you know what? There's an area of your life you're way out here, out from under the blood. And you say, well, I don't believe you can be out from under the blood. Well, you call it whatever you want to. You call it just in rebellion, whatever you want to call. But I'm telling you, the blood needs to be applied to that area of your life. And he says, while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood. How many knows we are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ? Not by your good works, but we're just coming home. We're coming home and we're saying, I don't want to live like that anymore. I've been through that. I acquired a man, I got rid of a man. I got another man, I've got this job, I got rid of a job, and I'm not happy, and I had this friend, and now I got rid of a friend. Whatever it may be, that it's the place that you're living in today that is not pleasing to the Lord. He says, we're justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. Saved from the wrath of this issue through Jesus Christ. And so here's my question to you as we close today. Are you in the house in all the issues of your life? Or is there an issue or two or three? Or maybe you're still standing out here contemplating coming into the house and under the blood of Jesus Christ. Where are you? Where are you? The blood is for where you are. And here's what I want to ask you today. Are you in the house or are you out of the house when it comes to loving God? That's the first commandment. He said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength and all your soul. That's the first commandment. And here's what he said. You can't just say, oh, I love God. I can't just say, oh, yes, I'm madly in love with God. He said, here's how you prove that you love me, when you keep my commandments. You say, well, which ones, Pastor? All of them. All of them. And that's how Jesus said we express our love to Him. It's the same way He expressed His love to us when He said, while you were still out in sin, Jack, I died for you. And so it's the same expression. If you love me, here's how you prove it to me, is you keep my commandments. You keep all of them. You keep all of them. It doesn't mean that we won't stumble, but it means we don't abide in that place. We're not camped out there. It's not premeditated, willful. I'm going to camp over here in this. I know it's not God's will. I know it's not according to God's word, but I'm staying there. Are you keeping His commandments? He said, if you are, you love me. If you don't, because He says in the next verse, he who does not love me does not keep my commandments. So if there's an area that the commandments is being broken, all He's saying is it proves your love is lacking for me. Here's another one. Do you love your neighbor? He said that's the second great commandment. Do you love your neighbor? And some of you, I know you're hung up on technicalities and say, well, define neighbor, Pastor. Well, how about any of the 6 or 7 billion people on the planet? We're all sharing this planet together. So is there anyone that you say, I don't love them anymore? That's walking outside the commandments of the Lord. You need to walk back in and say, I need the blood on this one. Here's one for some of you. How about are you loving yourself? Some of you don't practice that commandment, and it's right up there in the top three, is to love yourself. I watched a little girl, I don't remember her name, probably the kids could tell me, but yesterday morning and we were having a little breakfast, and it showed her, and she was cutting her wrist, and she's a popular singer, sang with the Jonas Brothers and all, and has fame and fortune and all this stuff, and she hates herself, and just cutting her wrist, and had to go through therapy, and so it doesn't matter if you have a lot or you have a little, you can hate yourself. You can judge yourself. You know, I hear people say, I'm the hardest person on myself than anyone else. You know, I'm harder on myself than anyone I know. So do you love yourself? You love yourself? And we could just go down the list. You know, there's all kinds. And he says, if you really want to know if you're under the blood, do you love your enemies? You say, is that possible? It's possible if you get in the house where the blood is. I know because I used to have all kinds of enemies I couldn't stand. And now I don't have one enemy that I don't love. And I can honestly say that through the power of God, not through any of my own strength. But I decided to go in here and speak blessing and pray over them and act like I loved them. And when I act like it, and I did my best to say that I'm doing this because God told me, and I'm not real happy about it, but I'm doing it. And all of a sudden, the feeling came and the freedom came, and so I love my enemies now. I don't have any enemies anymore. They all went away. You love your enemies. If not, you need to get in the house where the blood is. Here's one. How about this one? Are you keeping the Sabbath holy? How many knows that is one of the Ten Commandments? Are you keeping the Sabbath holy? You're here today, aren't you? You're in the house, aren't you? Here's one. How about are you honoring your father and mother? Honor your father and mother. Didn't say if they're worthy. If you think you ought to, it said honor your father and mother. Are you outside or are you in the house? How about this one? Thou shalt not commit adultery. How many knows who created sex? It wasn't the devil, was it? It was God. And He says sex is good inside the boundaries of holy matrimony, in the house where the blood is. He said out in the street, out here, everything is fornication and it's not holy. Where are you today? And that it's a big problem in our society. Here's one. Thou shalt not steal. We could steal anything from time on our job to trinkets from our job to whatever it might be. Thou shalt not steal. Where are you at in that? Here's one that should not bear false witness. Well, it's just a little lie. How about just telling all the truth and letting God help you with the consequences? Where are you at on that? Are you in the house or out of the house? How about this one? Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's husband, your neighbor's car, your neighbor's boat, your neighbor's Harley. Thou shalt not covet. Where are you on that one? Are you happy? Are you content with what you have? Or are you standing out in the street somewhere? And you know, we could go on and on, but how many knows? You know where you are. You know where you are. And here's what I want to do in closing. I'd like everybody just to bow your head, and I want to see some freedom today. I believe that the skit, the songs, everything that led up today was for this, was for somebody to come home and have freedom. Somebody that's standing on the porch, somebody that's standing out in the street, to come home and be back under the blood of Jesus Christ today. And if you're here, and I just want to lead you in a prayer, we're not going to embarrass you, but if you're here today and you say, Pastor, the Lord has spoken to my heart today, and I'm standing on the porch, I'm standing outside somewhere, I'm somewhere, but I'm not on this issue, but I am not in the house where the blood has been applied in this area of my life. If you're here today, would you please be honest and quit denying and lying? Would you just be honest today and find freedom? He said, if you can die to yourself and die to all the lies and all this, he said, man, I can set you free. But until you become honest, until you bring your heart and you bring everything, all your faults and flaws and lies and sin, until you bring them to the cross, I can't help you. He said, but if you'll confess your sins, He'll be faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Today is Resurrection Sunday. We'll eat and we may hide eggs inside, looks like, but you know what? Here's why we're here today, is to see people be set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so if you're here today, while Christians are praying and heads are bowed, if you're here today and you say, I'm outside the house on an issue with my heart, my life, with this area, I want you to just raise your hand. I'm going to lead you in a freeing prayer. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you. Anyone else? You want to be free today through the power of the Holy Spirit? Thank you very much. Father, for all those that raised their hand today and honestly saying, I'm not where I need to be in this issue. God, we all have areas in our life that we struggle with. But right now, by lifting their hand, they're just saying, I'm somewhere I shouldn't be on this issue. And today, Lord, I pray that You would help us to come to the cross. And I just want to lead you that lifted your hand. Just repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, apply the blood to my heart in this area. Be Lord and Savior of my life. Completely, Lord. I give my heart and life to You. Forgive me of my sin. I accept Your blood and I accept Your forgiveness today. I am clean. And I will never walk outside again by the help and the grace of God in this area again. In Jesus' name, and all the church said, Amen.